back is like a note. How I live the Mac life, making money smoking mics like back is like a note. How I live the Mac life, making money smoking mics like back like.
This is the original Los Angeles Beats Better. Tweet Cadillac, baby. And you tune in to the G-Loop Show. West Side Wednesday. OG Sunday. We're rolling the pimp line. Tweet Cadillac, baby. Yeah. Make sure to tune in. Every Wednesday night. 7 to 9 p.m. Put some pimpin' in your life. Yeah.
Niggas wanna know how I live the Mac life. Making money smoking mics like crackers like a note. How I live the Mac life. Making money smoking mics like crackers like a note.
Sitting back thinking about my G's low. Rose till they gray sight, gray as I kneel low. Thinking about the good times, why you had to die, G. My mom said be strong, but I'm feeling kinda lonely. Yeah, Mr. Havoc feeling kinda shady. I realize what gangs hang ain't the place to raise a damn babe. Trying to be a OG means you got a G-ride. But if you G-ride, one time it's gonna hoot ride. Put the guns on lockdown, keep your head up. My homies dying day by day, I'm getting fed up. Yo, I reminisce about the way back times when we used to hang out, shoot hoops and kick rhymes. Yo, it gets deeper, you gotta watch your back on your home block or be the victim of a damn 9 block. So wake up and stop sleeping. 187 ain't the way, Loke, and you can still roll in your 6-4. They got it. I'm staying on the down low. I'm keeping it in the closet. Chilling with my notes, dipping phones. Staying out of trouble, support the truth. Show them love, cousin blood. Pass me the Danko. No, G, that ain't me. I don't drink or smoke just to prove that I'm down, G. Doing a drive-by, ain't the way in the 9-5. Take another life because he lives on the east side. Keisha always said, baby, those ain't your true friends. Now you got a son and he loves you more than all of them. My homie started tripping cause half stopped the banging. Stopped the dope slanging. I try to make a change in my hood. OGs recognize and let the BGs know. Put it down for the truth and the non-folk. One time on my tip acting wicked, they took me downtown for an unpaid ticket. County, trying to start a new life.
Had to put the guns down.
Threw away the blue dice. Mom told me, Brian, there'll be days like this. Keep your head on your shoulders, but I went out counter backwards. Ponytail keeps me sweating on the daily because I look gangster. I stay in on the danger. Fools want a trip cause I left the hood. They swear to G, Jack a G, but to me, yo, it's all good. I'd rather be a punk OG than a dead OG. Doing all the time in the counties, Mr. Five Fool. Tripping hard off the half. I'm getting paid in this game and jealous fools just make me laugh.
Now my life is kinda cool, yo.
I still put this down for my hood.
Yeah, fool, yo.
One less G in the hood doing an idiotic drive-by.
But still I put it down for the west side.
Yeah,
Y'all know what it is, Rare the Blue. Chillin' with my homeboy G-Lo. That's what it do.
We stay on point like Tracy Allen. Yo!
Yeah, yay, yeah. Welcome to the G Lou Show, Westside Wednesdays, on the 14th of July, 2021. I am G Lou. I'm joined by my lovely, beautiful co-host, Miss Queen Jean is here. Good evening, Queen.
Hey, good evening.
How are you this evening?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I can't even complain a bit. Can't complain a bit. Hope everybody out there in the world is doing good, too. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with us, me and Queen Jean. We appreciate you. Yes, we do.
Yes,
we
do.
What's up, Queen Jean?
Not too much. I'm just chilling and was waiting on the show and got me a watermelon margarita standing by and looking at my beta and watching him swim around and doing his things and gazing up at the TV at the NBA basketball game. Just basically chilling. Had
a pretty smooth day.
It's too hot to really be out. You think you're going to go out, and you get out there for about 5 minutes. It's like, turn around, let's go back in. Too hot outside. But other than that, everything is, cool. What about on your end?
Okay. Everything is cool. Same way. Beautiful day, hot, but it's summertime, it's to be expected, but beautiful day, blessed to be here, and so I'm not going to complain
blessed
at all. Got a good, you say what?
Blessed by the best.
Yeah, right, that part. tonight we got a great show lined up for you all. It's Westside Wednesdays, so we got a special guest tonight. A West Side legend, West Coast legend, L.A. legend, South Central legend, from a legendary group, legendary foundation, legendary era in hip-hop as well. And everything is just legendary, man. So we got a legend. We have a legend in the building tonight from the legendary group, South Central Cartel, South Central Los Angeles. We have one-fourth of the group, one of the founders of the group. The big homie, Big Havoc, the Rhyme Son, is here. Good evening, homie.
What's up, man? How you doing, man? How you feeling?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Glad to have you here with us tonight, man.
Man, it's a blessing to be here with you guys, man. I appreciate you guys asking me to come on, man, and share this time with you guys on this.
Yes, sir.
It's a hot day, but it's a beautiful day. You know what I'm saying?
That part. Because, it could be much worse, homie, So that's why I say could be worse. So I ain't going to complain. It's a beautiful thing, man. We got the legendary Big Havoc here. Big Havoc.
Son.
Hey, Havoc, man. Yeah, definitely an honor once again. And thank you again for joining us. Shout out to BTP Media Group, our sponsor. Make it all happen. D.D. Harrison, what's up? I'm G. Lou, homie. This is my co-host, Miss Queen Jean, the lady
what's
of the
up,
show.
Miss Queen?
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Great. Glad to have you. Glad that you made it.
Man. Yeah, I'm happy. I wanted to make it. That's why, I wanted to keep in contact with you guys because I didn't want to miss this show, So... did what I had to do so I can be here. You guys blessing me on the airwaves. I appreciate it.
You're blessed,
man. We thank you.
Have you on the airwaves. Yeah.
That part. I'll go ahead and get started, man. I just want you to, the people know who you are already, but just tell us a little backstory, man. Big Havoc, because, and just to clarify some things, too, because, we get people in here. That's just listening, they hear the South Central Cartel, we know it's two different Havocs and Prodigies and all of that.
Yeah,
so just, give the breakdown, but just kind of clarify for the people who may not know, homie, who you are.
I'm one of the, I'm one of the, you know, the main rapper, writer, producer. Me and Prod, we basically would come together in the studio with LV. And, you know, we even wrote some of LV stuff. So, you know, we were like the foundation of the group, man. And, you know, we started out, man, being many different entities, man. You know what I mean? So, but the way me and Prod always did things is that we always try to keep our name either similar or the exact opposite, you know. So when he was Casanova, I was Debonair. When he was MC Ace, I was Ace MC. You know what I mean?
Right.
We had so many names, but then we, you know, one day Prod, you know, he called me on the phone. I was at home working on some tracks, and he called me at home, and he said, man, I got this dope name. He said, man, I'm going to call myself Prodigy, the Prodigal Son. And I was like, that's dope. He said, and I got one for you, man. He said, you should call yourself Havoc, you know. So just so happens that when he was telling me that, you know, we had the mouthpiece. He was in the background. He overheard that name. He was like, that's a dope name. So that's how the two name Havocs ended up in the group. You know, he heard it. He started using it, putting it on his clothing. And, you know, so to differentiate between the two, I added the Ron Son. He added the mouthpiece, you know. So, and from there, you know.
Not to cut you off. I just want to always ask that. So it never was any, just from the beginning with the name. Who was going to use it? Only one can use it. You both decided to use it. So that was understood from the beginning.
No, not actually. You know, I'm just one of them cats. I don't throw shade, but, you know, I like to tell the truth, you know. But
okay.
It was the name was, like, Pride called me to tell me he wanted me to use the name because we were, like I said, me and Pride, we always shared names. You know, like if we weren't the same, we was the opposite. You know what I mean? We spelled things different, stuff like that. So he was listening in on our conversation. And then next thing you know, he just started putting it on his sweatsuits, his hats, and things like that. You know, and you know, I went to Prod. I was like, man, you know what? I'm okay without using his name, bro. But Prod was like, nah, man, you have it, man. He's just gonna have to be the mouthpiece, man. So, I mean, it was some inconveniences, you know, within the group because of the name thing. But, you know, I just decided to say, you know what, I'll change the spelling of mine, and I start spelling it Havikk, you know, trying to be different. So,
right.
And then we just, I mean, because we were seeing each other every day, we was in the studio with each other every day, and you know, it was a close-knit family type thing, you know what I mean? So we had to settle it in some form or fashion. So I'm guessing that we just decided to just add the last, you know, like the Rhyme Son and then the mouthpiece and just move forward, you know. So it was,
wow.
I think at some point it just came to be about keeping the peace, you know what I mean, and trying to move on, man, because we had so many at that point in time, we had so many people looking at us, you know what I mean? For the performances we was doing, and Carlos and Charlie's and House of Blues and things like that, we was really starting to have a street buzz. You know what I mean? So
right.
We just decided to lay the differences aside and just, you know, both of us inherit the name, but just spell it different and add that, you know, that ending tag to it. So that's the story of the Havoc name. Now the story as it pertains to as the Mobb Deep thing. We were the Havoc and Prodigy first. I mean, we didn't know about Mobb Deep. Mobb Deep signed their deal. We was in Jack the Rapper in 90, I think that was 94, 93, 94.
Right.
And Mobb Deep had just signed the deal. You know what I mean? And that's how we knew that it was a Havoc and Prodigy in a group called Mobb Deep. You know what I mean? So, but we were being using those names, man. We were using those names years and years and years. We was in the making of performing at Carlos and Charlie's, you know, at House of Blues. I mean, this was years and years and years before. Go ahead.
I was just thinking of this too, right? It's ironic once again how we were just speaking about you having differences in the name thing with your partner in your own group. But now you have to come and hear about this another havoc way over here across the country.
Yeah.
That's ironic.
I mean, man, that was the weirdest because, you know, when we was at Jack the Rapper, the way all that stuff happened, it took me by surprise, but it didn't – I mean, the approach took Pride by surprise, but the approach and the overall name thing took me by surprise, you know.
Right, right.
Pride said, you know, while we was going at it with these guys, you know, we were just saying things back and forth, but within that communication going back and forth, Pride said, I read about you guys. You guys are the Havoc and Prodigy from Mobb Deep. And I'm looking, I'm like, dude, I ain't never heard of no Havoc and Prodigy from no Mobb Deep. You know, and then
right.
it was like about six or seven of them, little short guys. They just surrounded us and they start walking around us, then they stopped. And then some guy walked up, which I later figured out that was one of their boys, and he was like, Havoc
right.
and Prodigy. Meet Havoc and Prodigy. And I was like, what? What the hell? And then, you know, that's when Prodigy starts saying, yo, y'all gotta stop using our names, yo. Y'all can't be using our names, yo. It's ironic how we got the same names, yo. And I was like, man, I'm not gonna stop using nothing. You know, that wasn't the choice word at that time, but you know, that
right.
just summed it up. I said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, and it escalated to the point that Guru and Premier was standing off to the left, and they saw the
right.
interaction, and Guru came, and he put his arms around me and Pride, and he said, y'all, come on, walk with me. So we was walking with Guru, and, you know, Guru was like, man, they just signed their deal, man. They off that Hennessy, and they feeling themselves right now. You know what I'm saying? And even though that when you listen at the side, that Prodigy, the one, rest in peace, that he tells, and then DJ Premier tells the side, and then we tell our side, you know what I mean? They never tell the side to the point that I tell the side, because at the end of all that, we was up in their room laughing, shooting the
right,
shit.
Right.
They were smoking, drinking, all that. So, you know, it was never like a physical altercation, but words was exchanged.
What they put extras on it when they told us their side of it, they put extras on it.
Yeah, when they talked about it, they put extras on it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I couldn't figure out why, because we were sitting in a room, man, with Premier and with Guru, and we was just all chopping it up, man, and just laughing and shit, you know. And they was like, man, we respect y'all, yo, we respect y'all, man. But that whole story got so twisted, you know what I mean? And it became embedded in people's mind, and that's when people started saying, nah, they was that first Havoc and Prodigy. But if people would actually sit back and do their research and go back in the days when we was doing stuff with Carlos and Charlie's and House of Blues, they'll see that we were the actual first Havoc and Prodigy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. So,
and
you know,
it was like younger than y'all anyway. They was like little kids at that time.
Yeah, they was like kids, man. So it was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
And actually, I read an article that Prodigy from Mobb Deep used to call himself the Golden Child. So I'm like, so how was you at the time you was calling yourself the Golden Child? We were already Havoc and Prodigy. So, you know what I mean? So it was like, the whole thing was, I called it, always said, a misunderstanding, because we were the type of group that never wanted to create a beast with nobody. You know, we was always trying to support the truth. So how could we support the truth if we was out there starting shit with people? You know what I mean? And that's the way we looked at it, man. So nowhere we went, nowhere South Central Cartel stepped. Even though we had the red bandana and the blue bandana tied, knotted up, put on brown our khaki suits, you know, you never heard of, oh, South Central Cartel show got shot up. You know what I mean? You just never heard man, because we were trying to be on a whole nother level, man, you know, and try to bring everybody in the game together, man. But, you know, I mean, it worked to a certain extent.
It is what it is. But take me back a little bit. When you said that you guys started, and like you said, you had the earlier names, I know you're influenced by LL Cool J and the radio album, all of these things. So you guys were starting back early, you know. Tell us about how, I guess, hip-hop kind of changed over those years, and especially in L.A. and all that. But tell us how it maybe was for you guys starting off, and then how things kind of changed and progressed, and, you know, you guys, of course, move with the times and grow with the times in the area to where you guys, you know, were pretty much doing gangster rap, you know, by the time you were doing it and the whole get down, you know, maybe opposed to when you guys started earlier and were more hip-hop, or I'm sure we're into hip-hop because that's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, my biggest influences was when LL came out. That's the first album I bought, you know what I'm saying, the radio album, man. And then, you know, right before LL was coming out, it was Run DMC, Peter Piper, and all that, you know. And then we used to listen to, like, the Dana Dane and MC Light, all these people, man, and hip-hop at that point in time. It wasn't gangster. It was more like you had hip hop, but you had some that had a street appeal. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then NWA stepped into the gang. Yeah, NWA stepped into the gang, and that's when NWA came with, you know, the Levi's, the jeans, not the bomber, but we used to call them gangster jackets. You know what I mean? With the Raider hats and stuff like that. They took the street appeal to a whole nother level. But back in the days, we was trying to fit in with what we saw coming out of New York. So we were, at that point in time, we would call a group called Mafia Style. And if I could show you a picture today, you will see that in Mafia Style, we didn't have the ponytails and all that. We had the Jerry curls, but some of the crew wore basket weaves, if you believe it or not. Remember those basket weave hairstyles? A lot of people, I mean, a couple people passing the group, they wore that. But so we were into making songs like, we had a song called Still Waters Run Deep. It was more R&B-ish, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then we did a song called Make It Hurt, you know what I mean? We were not on the gangster per se type tip. We were more on the trying to get radio, you know what I mean?
Right.
But then we looked up and NWA broke the barriers. We was like, Then we had our friend Lover G. He came in and he was like, hey, I got a name for a dope group. He said, let's call ourselves the South Central Cartel, SCC. We was like, that's dope. And we ran with SCC. Then now, running with SCC, we had to come up with what our image would be, right?
Right.
Pride's sister used to take our hair and put them in them Shirley Temples. You know what I mean? She had parted up, put them in the Shirley Temples, then we threw on the loke. And at first, we weren't wearing khaki suits. We was wearing Ben Davis. The Ben Davis, you know, outfits. You know,
right.
Like Baby Easy wearing. We used to wear the Ben Davis look, you know. Then we start wearing the zigzag cornrow. So we was doing that shit before a lot of people was doing that stuff. We were setting trends way back then with that, with the hair,
especially
and all
with,
that
especially
shit.
With the hair, though. The hair, though, for sure.
Exactly. You know, like,
I mean, for people across the world, because people knew that's an L.A. thing, but across the world, they didn't know about that. You know what I mean?
They didn't know about that. I mean, you know, it's to the point, even when the Brat, I met the Brat at the, remember when we had the first Summer Jam? We was in the first Summer Jam with the Brat. And the Brat saw my hair, and she was like, nigga, I love them Shirley Logs, nigga, because, you know, she started rocking hers. She used to have the long shits in her hair, man. But, man, we were setting trends. If you go back to the G-Thang video, look at Snoop's hair. Snoop had a little mini afro, but now, you know, then he started wearing the braids and all that stuff, you know what I mean? So we were setting them trends, man. So I think, you know, we kind of like had something to do with certain trends being set, you know, as hip-hop progressed. Now, what hip-hop has turned into now, I mean, I respect it because it's an art, but...
Right.
I don't understand it sometimes, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
you know?
We know that shit is boo-boo. I mean, no disrespect, not all of it. You know, I'm not going to disrespect us. We know where it is opposed to where we come from with it. So that's not even...
Right.
But let me ask you this. Going back a bit, I would say also you guys, I don't want to say put South Central on the map. South Central was on the map, you know, you had Cube and all that. But at that time, it was so influenced by... Compton had a stronghold, and like you said, Snoop and them, even though you guys were out before Snoop, but Long Beach came in, and kind of it was a bigger influence on Compton, Long Beach, and South Central was kind of, you know, parts here and there, but you guys put it on the map with the name and, like you said, the whole look and everything to where South Central was was official map like Long Compton, you feel me?
Yeah. That's some real talk. No disrespect to my boy Q, because I know Q grew up in South Central. He went to a school in the Valley, you know what I mean? But he grew up in South Central. But when
he came
with
NWA, though.
He came out with NWA. And if people listen, Q said straight out of Compton. It wasn't Q didn't start claiming South Central until he had that beef and he separated himself from NWA. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say we was the first group from South Central repping South Central, but we was the first group from South Central to put South Central out there. You know what I mean? Just like we was the first group to come out with a real R&B singer. You know what I mean? No group did that. That's why I say we kind of set some trends. You know, with LV in our group, it brought about a Nate Dogg. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, it was like, man, like I said, I respect the Q, and I always will for the dope lyricist that he is, was, whatever. But, you know, Q really didn't start saying South Central until he left NWA. You know what I mean? And a lot of people don't know that there was talks in the making of NWA, of EVE trying to sign South Central Cartel. You know what I mean? And a lot of people don't know that.
It made sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He wanted to sign SCC. To Ruthless.
Would you guys, looking back at it, would you guys would have rather have signed with Ruthless, or are you happy with the Def Jam thing?
You know, I think the way that I think, G Lou, is this. I think God does everything for a reason. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that if we was presented with that situation of being on Ruthless, at the same time we was presented on being on Def Jam, I think we probably would have went to Ruthless, because at that point in time, Eazy-E knew how to do
what to do with Street.
Yeah, he would know what to do with us. Us going to Def Jam was the first West Coast, you know what I mean, gangster group with an R&B singer on Def Jam. You know what I mean? So.
Right.
They didn't really know what to do with that. We had many, many meetings, you know, sitting in marketing meetings, and they was trying to find out what to do with the song
they
we had.
Probably trying to jump on that West Coast buzz and get that thing like it was already going, but they didn't know what to do with y'all, though. They wanted y'all, but didn't know what to do, you know what I mean, to capture that, what they were supposed to do, because I'm sure they knew they had something but didn't know what to do when it came down to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, Russell, that's like, you know, like that's how we met Russell at that Jack the Rapper that we had that issue with Mobb Deep. That's where we met Russell. And Russell told us right then and there. He said, man, I heard of y'all. He said, y'all the motherfuckers that's on that independent and y'all selling units, y'all moving units. And he was like, I tell you what. He said, go home. Cut me 4 songs. I'll be in L.A. on this day. He gave us his hookup. He said, when I get out there, call me on this day. We're going to have a meet. If I like what I hear, I'm signing y'all. And we did. We went home. We did 5 joints. 5 joints.
Right.
We took those. And when Russell came, we went to Beverly Hills, to his hotel that he was in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And we met with Russell. And Russell loved it. And Russell said, I want to sign y'all. And then he told us what he wanted to sign us for. And they put the contract together, you know what I mean? And they flew us out to New York, you know what I mean? We met people. They treated us, man. They treated us well, man. I mean, it was nice being out. We, you know, that's when I first met, what's his name from Onyx, the one that was on the Brandy show?
Sticky. Not Sticky Fink. The other one, Fredro.
Fredro.
Fredro Starr.
He was standing outside of, Federico, he was standing outside of Def Jam, outside, you know, in front of the building. And I met him, you know what I mean? And even meeting him was love, you know what I mean? So, man, it was a blessing overall to be a part of the Def Jam family. But, you know, if I had to just rethink that and go back and say, if we had both offers on the table at the same time, we probably would have chose Ruthless, because Ruthless had more of what we would have felt at that time was what we needed.
Right.
You know what I mean? What could have
And it was home. And it was home. You got to go to New York to go
home
to the office and all that shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just think about it. You got Dre. I mean, you know, Cube there, Dre there, Ren there. You know what I mean? My cousin, you know, Michelle A. That's me and Prize.
Hey, yeah, we'll go get to that. That's a cold story right there, Misha. Hey, yeah. Hold on a second. Havoc, let me ask you this. What was I about to say? But what I was going to say was the good thing it seems to be with Def Jam, this seems like they let you guys still have control of the direction and the production and things. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Russell came at us, and Russell, he said he wanted to sign us, and he said, but here's what I want. And we was like, what? He said, I want y'all to do what y'all do. You know,
right.
So Russell pretty much gave us creative control. You know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't until we start dealing with the likes of, like, Tina Davis and a couple more, like Kevin Lyles, to where they wanted to start telling us what we needed to be doing and what we need, you know, we need this radio, we need this, we need that, y'all need to do this. But when we was just, when we first came on, it was just Russell, and Russell say, do what y'all do, man. Y'all motherfuckers kill shit up and blah, 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 you know. So that's what we did. You know, that's why on that album, you got Drive By Homicide. You know what I mean? Bring It On.
Right.
And all that. But if you listen at the albums over the three albums we did, they started to change because certain entities within Def Jam, when Russell started stepping back into the shadows, they wanted to start telling us what we needed to do. You know, they wanted more songs with LV. You know what I mean?
Right.
So hence you got the CC thing. Since you know, they wanted more with LV because at that point in time, they was trying to sign LV too. But LV was in a pickle between Def Jam and Tommy Boy.
And he went with Tommy Boy, correct?
He went with Tommy Boy, and you know, honestly, it pissed Def Jam off. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, you know, I say, you know,
How did the LV connection? That was, he came on early as well with the group early was or came in
no,
later.
No,
how did that
no,
connection
no.
come?
What had happened, what that was, you know, Prod had moved from the west side, and he was living on the east side on 87th and Wall. And LV used to live on, LV at that time lived on 87th and Wall. And LV had got shot, you know, he had got shot up real bad, man. And Prod used to, before he got shot, Prod used to hear him sing. He used to always be singing. And Prod told him, Prod said, man, if I get something cracking, I'm coming back for you. I want you to be down with us. And he was like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? So once we got everything cracking and LV healed, because he was in a wheelchair for a minute, you know, then we start doing music with him, man. You know, I mean, Prod bought him into the crew. Prod, you know, one thing about Prod, he tell you he going to do something, he does it. You know what I mean? So he grabbed LV's. Oh, man, I want you to come and get out on something for me. And the first time LV sung on something for it was on a song, if I remember correct, I think it was a song called Still Waters Run Deep we did. And then we did a song called Funked Up. And he was on that song. And ever since those two songs, his flavor, you know, matched our flavor. But it was more on the R&B tip. It wasn't the type of Nate Dogg stuff. It was more R&B-ish. So we said, hey, man, let's incorporate that shit into our formula. You know what I mean? So then that's when you start getting it's the SEC thing and stuff like that. Even on the show soundtrack, he's on that. You know, that So what you saying? I'm in my gap, bus. You know, I mean, it was just, it started to make sense that he was an intricate part of the crew. You know, he made himself an intricate part of the crew. But Prod was the one that met LV and brought LV into the inner circle. Yeah.
Right. Shout out to LV. He went on to do great things as well. Shout out to LV. Rest in peace. LV passed away, didn't he?
No. LV still kicking and doing his thing.
Okay. I don't know where I got that from. I'm sorry, LV. My bad, LV.
No,
I thought so at the same time.
Yeah. Rest in peace to DJ Grip. DJ Grip.
Okay.
Yeah,
for sure.
Everybody
my bad, Elf. Much love, I'll go ahead and turn over to Queen Jean on that note right there, because I don't want to put nothing in the air like that, man. Let me chill out for a minute. But Queen Jean, I know she has a lot of questions for you as well, so I'll let Queen come on in. Queen Jean.
Hey, Havoc, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm good. Listen, good. I know you all have birthed 14 albums, and your first one was birthed in 1992, South Central Madness. There's a song on there that's called Thinking About My Brother. What inspired that song there? Because I briefly listened to the lyrics, and then I just stopped. I said, let me just ask about that song.
Thinking About My Brother was a concept. We were out at, I think, Skip Saylor studio, and we had just seen, that's when E-40 and the Click started making their rise onto the scene. And we had just saw E-40 and the Click, and me and Pride, we was in the studio, and we were reminiscing, and we were talking, and Pride said, man, I got a dope song we can do. And I said, what's that? And he said, let's do a song talking about, you know, it's called Thinking About My Brother. You know what I mean? And this is one of those songs where I said, you know what, Pride, this is your concept, dude. I said, you need to write this song because you know what you want. You know how you want it. So Pride wrote that whole song Thinking About My Brother. But that song is just based off of how, you know, people in the hood, brothers, we need to show each other love. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a song that within the SEC, it transpired other songs. It's like it bounced off to a thinking, because we always try to do conscious songs, you know, bring it on, you know, always wanted to support together, bringing people together. And that's why we did songs like Thinking About My Brother, Bring It On, and SEC Thing, you know, because we wanted to promote the cohesiveness of us as, you know, a people. You know what I mean?
Right.
So Thinking About My Brother, actually, a lot of people don't talk about that song too much, but that was one of my favorite songs, and I didn't write one word on that song. That's the only song that we did, and I didn't write one word.
Yeah.
Thinking About My Brother was one of those deep prodigy classic songs to where he's just trying to promote love between us, you know, as a people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To stop doing all this killing and stop doing all this talking about each other and being effed up to each other. You know what I mean? So
this was in 1992. And look at what's happening today. You know, it's just crazy. Yeah, but I definitely understand the concept of the song now that you have explained it. Also, where were you when you first heard your first song off of this album, your first album? Where were you at and where
were you? Oh, where was I? The first album that we dropped and I heard the first song, to be honest, it was I Get My Roll On that I heard. My solo on South Central Madness, where I was on Vermont, and I think I was coming up on Slauson, by the Slauson Swap Meet, near the Slauson Swap Meet.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy pulled up on side of me, and it was, I get my roll, dun. And I was like, what? They bumping us like that? You know? And then the next song that I heard was Pride's solo song, You Gets Clam. You know? So,
What is that sample?
Huh? That's that.
Is there a sample to that song?
Oh, you talking about the I Get My Roll On?
No, You Get Clowned. Is there a sample to that? Like, is that a? Because I thought I heard a sample.
No, we didn't want to pay for the sample, so we put LV in there.
Okay.
Brother, how you make him get that? You know what I mean? But
yeah,
we had a dude named Chris, and then we were always known for taking a sample and going live with it and flipping it, you know, changing up notes and all that stuff. We were known for that, you know. So, you know, I don't, you know, I didn't Pride produce the song. So if I had to guess, because Pride rarely, he'll sample it, you know, to get the vibe. But once we go in the studio, we'll bring in a guitar player, keyboard player, and all that, and we'll flip it. We'll change it up.
Yeah, so. Because Keep It G has that yearning for your love built beat to it as well.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. I was hearing a lot of, you know, some samples in there. Also, I heard you mentioning some familiar streets. You mentioned Wall. The first other street that came to my mind was Hooper.
Yeah.
On the east side. And I was like,
Yep. Wow.
He's bringing back some memories, dropping these street names on the east side. So,
yeah. And you know what? That's funny because when I was young, you know, I went to the store. You know, Latasha Harlan, that store Empire.
Right, on Figueroa.
Yeah, I stayed around the corner from that store. And I used to go up to that store, and I used to ride my bike, and my bike got stolen, and the guy that stole my bike used to live on Hooper.
Wow. Yeah, my mom stayed on 75th in Figueroa, so that's where my mom stayed at. So, yeah, I'm very familiar with that area. I'm from all over. Actually, I was born and raised in Compton, and then as we got a little older, we just started. I always say I'm gumbo from the city, you know, from everywhere.
You mix with everything, right?
Yeah, everything. So I can go in any neighborhood and know how to, you know, carry myself. You feel me? I would know how to carry myself in any neighborhood I would move into. So, yeah, you know, I was seeing that you have a clothing line. You have a master of information systems, a master in that management, and also a tax preparer. So you got a lot of hats that you wear there.
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to do is, you know, music was always my love, you know, and me and Pride, we used to link up, and we used to watch. We used to walk to Manchester and Normandy to that McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that McDonald's?
We used to walk
from 92nd Street in Vermont area. All the way over, and we used to just freestyle, you know what I mean, and just rap, you know, and come up with dome and all this stuff. So music was my love, and I always wanted to do it. But, you know, when I signed my first deal and then on that independent, we put out the album. The album did well. Then I signed to that major with Def Jam, and we put out three albums. And then I started working on, you know, it was more of a mixtape, not a solo. I started to feel like, you know, I've accomplished something in my life, you know, that I really wanted to do. So I started looking at other things that I wanted to do in life. And, you know, when I was in high school, my last year, my girlfriend I was dating, she ended up pregnant. So I got offered a architectural drafting scholarship, full scholarship. And I didn't take it because I was like, you know, I have to take care of my son. He's coming. I got to do what I have to do. So I didn't take it. You know, my father got mad at me, and, you know, he gave me some choice words. But, you know, at that point, I said, whenever I get the chance, I want to go back to school. So I was taking college courses here and there. But, you know, traveling and performing overseas and things like that with the SEC took away from that. So as soon as I got the time, I went back and I went and got my bachelor's degree in technical management. And then now I'll graduate on the 31st of July with my master's degree in information systems management, you know. So, I wear a few hats, and, you know, since I'm so close, since I'm so close to finishing my master's degree, now I'm trying to focus in on, you know, the One Hood Entertainment clothing line, and you know what I'm saying? And then I put out the Nitrogen album, you know, the first solo album ever done by me. You know, no one contracted out to me and said, hey, you want to do an album with me, or, you know, you want to do an album and I fund it. No one ever, you know, so I decided to do it by myself. So, and I've accomplished that. And, you know, Liquid Nitrogen is out there right now, you know, and the way that I did it is that you can only get it from me right now if you want the CD.
Oh.
But it will come on all streaming services August 13th. And I framed it that way because my daughter's birthday is August 12th. And my cousin Prodigy's birthday is August 14th. So I said, I'm going to put it right in the middle of their birthday. And that's how that happened.
And mine is,
August 1st. Yeah. I wear a lot of hats. I got my barbering license. I cut hair for a year, you know. So, So I pretty much try to, you know. Yeah, my father was a jack of all trades. He was a carpenter, electrician, Barbara, he did a lot of things. So I guess it just runs in the blood.
Which is a good thing, you know. I heard you were speaking of why I was also peekabooing on your page on Instagram. So I see that you have a lot of faith in the strong believer in the Most High, which is always a plus to have
in
your life.
You know it. You know it. I mean, I started reading the Bible. And I always said to myself, once I dive into it, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
So I got to a point to where I felt like I was ready and I wanted to know, you know what I mean? And God said study to show yourself approved. So I started studying the Bible and I started reading and reading and reading. And, you know, I mean, like anybody else who have their thoughts and who have their, you know, their questions, you know, I had my thoughts and I had my questions. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Strong believer of, like I say, I always tell people, if you look, you know, if you're looking on my page, I tell people I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual one. You know what I mean?
Right.
I believe in the Most High.
Right.
You know, and that's who I'm going to always reference, the Most High, because the Most High said that he's a jealous God. So if I believe that the Most High is a jealous God, why would I think that he is going to send me through somebody to get to him? You know what I mean? He just said he's a just God. You know what I mean? So I just believe in the Most High, you know, and everything I do, I put him first and, you know, and I put him in it. So like if you listen to the Liquid Nitrogen album, I have a song on there called I Am, because that's what God calls himself in the Bible. I Am.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I have a song on there called I Am. But the way that the song is that I take basketball players like Allen Iverson, Kevin McHale, Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, and I made a song about them, using them to describe my talents that God has given me. You know what I mean? So, you know, and the hook is a powerful hook. You know, I don't want to give it away. What I'm going to do is send it to you guys. So I want you guys, you know, you guys got my link up. It's coming to you free. So just send me your link up and I'm going to send it to you guys, because I want you, especially, you know, G-Lou, you know, because you picked that out. Listen at that song. And I want to know your feedback. Tell me what you think. And I mean, Queen, you too. That's what I meant about, you know, listen at that song. And G-Lou, you listen at the song that I did with Glasses Malone. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You can tell me what
okay.
You think. You know what I mean? It got some nice stuff on there. You know, I think I did the type of album that I want people to pop in a deck and ride to. You know what I mean? The stuff that you can do, you can pop in and you can drink to, you can smoke to, you can just relax to. You know what I mean? We call it feel good music.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
I didn't want to give the audience, because we get enough of that. I wanted to give them something different. I wanted to give them something that they can, you know, I put it this way. You know how when you step in the club, how that music is just forever lasting, because it just feels so good when you hear Zap Come On, Mo Bounce to the Ounce and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's the type of stuff, you know, it's like it's forever music. It never changes.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that.
What era you hear it in, you're going to love it.
Wow. I'm looking forward to receiving that gift. Also,
yeah,
you had said that Tupac, somebody asked you about Tupac, and you said he was a beast and a great teacher, and you learned from him. What exactly did you learn from Tupac? Because Tupac
I learned from Tupac that when you're on the microphone, use backtracks to clean up things that you miss on your lead track. You know, Tupac would go up in there and he would sing a verse and he will cut words off because he had so much power, vocal power. He wouldn't pronunciate a word to his fullest like other artists would want to do that on their lead track. He'll come behind and he'll accent that on a backtrack. You know what I mean? I learned from Tupac just how to come into the studio and be about your business. You know what I mean? Before he hit a blunt, before he took a sip of liquor, he focused in on his art. And he wrote his verse, and he got on that microphone, and he did what he needed to do. You know what I mean? That's how he could write so many rhymes while he was locked up. You know what I mean? So Tupac, at that point in time when he came in to do the Gangsta Team, he was very instrumental in my future development. You know, just seeing how he got on the mic and he just aired it out. You know what I mean? When he got in that vocal booth, everything that he could have been going through that day was left outside of those doors. And he went in that vocal booth and he handled his business. That's what I learned.
Why he was so good. Yeah, that's why he was a hell of a lyricist. His music is so legendary today.
Yes, and you know, and also what I learned from Tupac is learn as much as you can and be able to talk on different levels. Don't just be stuck on one level, because Tupac could talk on many different topics. A lot of people can't talk on different topics like Tupac could talk on different topics and be knowledgeable about those topics. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
People couldn't do that. And make sense about what you're saying. You know, if you look at all his interviews, he makes so much sense. He was telling us things before we even knew he was telling it to us.
Right. Like he was prophesizing.
Exactly. There you go. Yes, exactly. Tupac was wise. He was down to earth.
Yeah.
And also, he was like no other brother. He was fed up with a lot of other bull crap.
Yeah. I mean,
he left behind a legacy. And, you know, people idolize Tupac. You know what I mean? And the average brother just get that. There has to be something special about you.
Yeah, to get that respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, rest in power to Tupac and Shock G, because I heard you mention Digital Underground. Yeah.
You know it. Rest in both them kings. Yes.
Yeah, most definitely. Wow. So, yeah, you guys have, you have some gems, though. The music is, I listened to the albums today, and like I said, you guys have 14 albums. Were you guys ever labeled as the Murder Squad? Were you known as the Murder Squad as well?
Yeah, that was our clique, you know, like E-40. Yeah, that was like our crew, you know. But we were the face of that still, you know, the South Central Cartel. That's why you see us on the album covers. But we were the Murder Squad, and you know, with a couple, like we had a Young Murder Squad in there. We had Evil Side. And then of course us and LV, you know, it was my brother and Prodigy's younger brother, Twin and Droop, they were called Indicut. So yeah, we we had a number of things that we were doing at that time, and you know, and I felt like to a certain extent we kind of lost focus, you know what I mean, because we was trying to do so much. So that kind of like was one of our downfalls. You know, we didn't stay focused on and build the South Central Cartel to where we needed to build them, to where that everything that came out of the clique was a spinoff, and people knew that that was a part of the South Central Cartel clique. You know what I mean? We didn't do it that way. We got to throwing out this album, that album, that album, that album, that album, that album. And, you know, and I just think that that wasn't a proper way to put our whole crew out there like that. I think we should have built on the South Central Cartel and blew that up to where it would have been easier to put out a Young Pride album or Evil Side album or In the Cut album or even a Havoc album or a Prodigy album. You know what I mean? But we didn't do that, so it made it hard for us, you know, and it became a struggle. So you learn from your mistakes.
Okay. Oh, most definitely, but you got to go through the mistakes to get to where you're going to be. Also, I wanted to ask you one more question. I heard you mention MC Light. Out of all the female MCs, what was it about MC Light that stood out for you?
Her voice?
Just her whole style, right? Her vibe is just dope, right?
You know what? Yes, you remember that song called Hot Damn Ho? Shut the fuck up.
Light was like the hardest to me too. I love Light.
Oh my god.
She was the hardest
god.
Back then. Back in the day, she was the hardest female by far. Back in the day.
Oh my god. Nobody could touch that girl. That girl,
yeah.
I mean, I love her style. She never stayed one way. Even though she had that certain type of voice, she can rap fast, she can rap slow, she can rap mid tempo. She could flex style. She was just a beast, man. Light was a beast.
She was. Did you hear?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Light was a
true. Did you hear on the BET Awards?
I love it. Huh?
Did you guys see her on the BET Awards when they was giving Queen Latifah her Life Achievement Awards? Her and Lil' Kim, they performed her song. And,
I seen it.
Queen Latifah came out there. I was like, that was pretty dope.
I seen the... A commercial on it, you know, that they flew past me, but I didn't watch the awards.
They're so different now, anyway. But that was pretty dope with her coming out on the.
I stopped watching awards. You know, I like the fact that our black people are doing it, but you know, the awards became more of a fashion statement to me. You know, because when I hear people
talking, that's the way they're doing them now.
Yeah, did you see such and such, how she came out in that cold dress and that this, that, rocking that, this. I'm like, you know, y'all not, it's to me, it's more about the achievement. It's not about what you wear.
Yeah, what attracted me to watch it this time was the award that was going to Queen Latifah and also this tribute to DMX. So that was the reason I really wanted to watch it. You know, to see
that right there, the DMX thing was a loss to hip hop.
Yeah.
Man, that was a major loss to hip hop. Oh my god. That was
heartbreaking.
He became DMX was my favorite. You know what I mean? When I first
Mine
heard him
too,
that,
have it.
that raspy voice, that right? Yeah, you know what I mean? I was like, man, who the hell is that? He just commands.
And you know, he prophesied a lot too.
Yes.
He did a lot of prophesying as well. He sure did. You know, he lived his truth to the fullest. He was very transparent, and he lived his truth to the fullest. He was a very solid dude, and that was a big loss. That was so painful for me. I was very sad. I was, you know, praying that he would come through, but. You know, God used him. The Most High used him while he was here. Definitely used him.
You know he did.
Yes.
Yeah, you
yes,
know he did.
Yes.
He really did. And he made a difference. He made a big difference.
He
opened
big
up
difference.
A lot of eyes.
Yes.
He opened up a lot of eyes. And he helped a lot of people. You know, the stories I heard about DMX was like, if you notice, he never wore the big chains and the rings and the Versace and all that crap.
Flashy.
He never wore it. He wasn't like that. They say you will see DMX feeding the homeless. You know what I mean? They said a man with all his money is sitting out there feeding the homeless, or out there playing dominoes or something with the homeless. I was like, wow, that's what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
he stayed true. He stayed true to where he was, who he was and where he came from. He never, you know, he never was that type. But he was said, I don't care about none of that stuff, flashy cars and, you know, big things. You know, just give him some Tims and he'll rock that and some baggy pants. And, yeah, but, yeah, that was a great loss, you know, great.
It was a major loss. You're right about that. It was a big loss. You know, it hurt. It was a loss to the point where it hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
what?
Yeah, you felt it. Kind of like when Pop left.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And also Nipsey, when Nipsey left, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
Nipsey
had that same appeal on people, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had that same effect on people. You know what I mean? So. Rest in peace to all them kings, man.
Yeah.
You know, rest in peace to them all, man. I mean, they brought so much to our lives, and, you know, some people don't even realize it, you know, and it's sad that some people didn't realize it until this happened. But at least at some point they realized it.
Yeah. You know, like you were saying, when you're on that spiritual level, you pay attention, you know how the Most High operates. No.
Right. You sure
okay, D. Well, I'm going to turn it back over to you because you got more of a musical side question.
All right. I wanted to get to some more about kind of a great segue. But before I do that, we'll take a quick break. Let me take a call. I think we have a caller right quick before I take a quick break. Caller 404, you're live on the air. Hello.
Hey, what up, beautiful people?
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing, Queen? Nothing much. I want to ask a question because it's been a while. I don't know why.
That voice sounds familiar right there.
A few times. I'm trying not to say all that, but hey, y'all.
What's up?
So, I've been watching this Indian Red Boy and Nipsey situation past few days and just trying to get my head wrapped around it because, you know, just noticing, you know, some of the homies I know, I got a lot of homies that's 60s, a whole lot of homies that's 90s, trays, just all over, you know, bloods, everything. And so I've just been watching the video with the Indian Red Boy situation. Why he disrespected the homie Nip on one of his memorials. I was watching Cowboy speak about it and everything, and then, you know, how everything turned out. And just want to know, you know, a lot of people have the question in their mind, too, you know, just want to know what's up with all that, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm not really a gang member and affiliated with it and stuff. I just have a lot of family members who's Crips. I just wanted to get down to that situation. Went on.
First of all, that dude wasn't actually the dude who disrespected the mural, but he was homeboy with a dude who did. You know, he was actually on the live with him when he got killed. So, but that wasn't the actual guy. How the stuff is going around, but not to say he didn't disrespect Nip either. You know, that's a whole another thing. But that stuff there is just the youngsters. I mean, when you gang banging, that's what gangbangers do. Unfortunately, they diss each other and disrespect each other. But the thing that is different now is that you have the internet, man, and these youngsters, you know, want to use the internet for everything, go live all the time, and, you know, and it's just put extras on it, like times 10, to where the disrespect and all this stuff you see, that's kind of regular. But when you put this internet in and the whole world and everybody now is doing stuff for clout and fame, which these youngsters do, you have situations like this now, you know, where and you're on live and you get killed, you know, and stuff like that. It's just on a whole different level right now with these youngsters. And it just, I don't know, but what's really going on with that situation is being just put everywhere. It's a trending topic, so it's going around a lot, and it's a lot of kind of misinformation. But, you know, all in all, it's a sad situation. I'm going to just say that, period, point
it's
blank.
A
it's a
sad
situation.
That's what it is.
That's unfortunate. And, I mean, at some point, you got to, like, when I was living in the hood, you know, and I grew up around the 90s, 60s, and A-Trays, mm-hmm. and Sevenfolds, all that. I went to Washington High, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you knew going in, once you was jumped in and once you became down with a set, you knew what was going to be. You knew your role, and you knew what could be the, mm-hmm. you know, the outcome of that role. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, You can't go and disrespect somebody, you know, like a Nipsey, whether he's alive or he's, you know, deceased, which unfortunately he is, and expect
right.
that there ain't gonna be no repercussions for that when he was loved so much, especially by his hood. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And giving up your location, you know, it's always the tough guy act to me. You know, you can't. I mean, you gotta ask yourself at some point: is it worth it? Was him living
yeah,
his life
gonna be...
being so trying to be so bold and show that he was so hard? Was it worth it? You know what I mean? It wasn't worth it because in the end, you hurt more people than you affect. You know what I mean? In a negative way, if we're talking hood to hood, look now what his family has to go through. You know what I mean? It's like. The wrong people get hurt behind
right.
just, you know, what I would call, and no disrespect to anybody, but some things are just stupid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, Havoc.
You
know, the thing is...
What do you have to prove by going over to in 60 hood and jumping out, striking up, that's what we call it, striking up on this man's mural and then taking a picture in front of it. You know what I mean?
For me, it's like, this is just what I think. When you in that lifestyle, you should never be slipping. You should never get comfortable. You should always be aware. Your head should be on that swivel even more so. But when you're just that comfortable, you're that relaxed, and you're just sitting back, you should never do that when you're in that lifestyle. I was having a conversation with my nephew who's behind the wall, and he's from Bounty Hunter. And we were talking about that, and I was like saying, you know what, I don't whoopee, whoopee, whoop. I said, that's a young man who's dead because of his stupidity. And it's just, it's a sad situation. And like you said, you get out the car, you walk up to the mural. That's like walking up to one of them 60 and just
yeah.
being that bold. You got to, yeah. if you're going to be like that, then you better be careful. You better be careful, and you better always be watching, because you have to know that that's a price for that. You have to know. And like
yeah,
you said,
exactly.
that's somebody's child, that's somebody's brother, that's somebody's, he probably was a father, but you got to
right.
be careful. You know it's repercussions when you live in that type of lifestyle. You know it.
And
you know, even the OGs.
But the last thing
like
is
that.
They need to stop getting on them lives and doing everything live, because now you got this shit to where the whole world, that shit is on the internet. Kids can see it. Anybody can just see them being killed on live now.
Right. And I mean.
You know what
I mean?
That's the sad part. That's what they need
that,
to stop doing that shit.
Yeah,
it's not even just the West Coast is doing it. It's in Chicago. It's everywhere right now. You
it's
see,
everywhere.
This week alone, I've seen about 5 killings from an Instagram live of gangs, and then I've seen a lot of drug. Not even just from you know gangs on that level, but it's also in the neighborhoods like the. The golf course shooting when the white guy, the 3 white guys got fucked up. That's some gang
shit.
Yeah,
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's spreading like worldwide right now, or nationwide right now. Like, it's going crazy.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we just
crazy.
Trying to figure out.
Live in a very
Yeah, and I deal with a lot of homies right now that's 60s right now that's around me and whatnot. I see them doing a lot of shit. And I also, my brother, my uncle is 8-tray. My brother is 90, you know what I'm saying, Hoovers and everything.
Yep.
And I'm just starting to see, like, I really wasn't exposed into it like that. I knew about it when I was a young kid, and I started getting to it. And I remember I was talking to Zulu one day years ago, and I was like, yo, I want to get into the gang life, you know what I'm saying? I want to get into it. And he looked at me like, nigga, sit your old ass down, nigga. You ain't, you know what I'm saying? You don't even know what that's about. And, but now I'm starting to see stuff. It's starting to touch home, close to family and friends and stuff, like people getting killed and hurt or whatnot. And I'm like, damn, now it's getting to a point where when I make moves, I have to think, like, damn, I can't make certain moves because I don't want no retaliation to happen because I know this nigga, my brother's 90, my uncle's 8-tray, and my boyfriend is 90. You know what I'm saying? So I have to not try to cross intermingle shit so shit won't happen into a war. And it's crazy. It's sparking up. And I'm just like, yo, what is going on right now? And then the government and tying everything, trying to blame everything on the gangs or whatnot. I know it's a lot of emotional brothers out there that do stuff, but they really using the gangs as the scapegoats. You know what I'm saying?
You know, but, yeah, I don't know. How old are you? I don't know how old you are.
I'm 35.
The caller. Okay, you probably can remember back. I mean, I don't. I'm a little older than you, but. You know what? I say that all this shit that's going on, because I saw people do walk-bys. I saw people do ride-ups on bikes. I saw people, you know, pass by in the car, one out the side of the passenger, sitting on the door, shooting from over the hood. You know, my girlfriend, my baby mother's, my son's mother's mother was shot in the forehead like that, you know, because she heard the shots, ran down the stairs and looked across the gate, and the bullet hit her dead in the forehead. So this has actually been happening. But what they did was they broadcasting it because they put these cameras and shit on our phone.
Right, exactly.
So all we doing is just broadcasting what's been going on for years. You know
right.
what I mean? This shit been going on. You know, I didn't see many people get shot. I didn't walk through many hoods and damn near got it myself. You know what I mean? So this is we just broadcasting it. That's all. And they want it because it's an agenda any damn way.
But that's what we did. But that's what they did do though. Old you know, gangbangers, not to take credit, you know, big that up any different or more, but. People wasn't doing that. We didn't have it as well, so I can't say what would have happened back then. But people definitely didn't broadcast their business, though. You feel me?
No. You know, we didn't
let people know their locations and all that.
We didn't have World Star Hip Hop. We didn't have those.
Right.
You
right.
know, all, back then it was all about word of mouth. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Now they broadcast it on a wide scale to where... You know, you film this on IG like Indian Red Boy got killed in his car. You know, now everybody around the world see this.
Exactly.
They have access to it.
Yeah,
and
that's
me,
a sad part.
That's one of the biggest difference. You know, it's
and his family and all them got to see that, you know.
Yeah. You know, so...
But again, like you said, these kids got to wise up. Like you said, this ain't nothing new. If you gangbang, there's disrespect. People disrespect each other. That's what gangbanging is about, really, especially when you're young. But it's just like a few things are just out the window, though, certain morals and values and respects even gang members had that they did not do. It was certain things people did and did not do. And I just don't think none of that is in play anymore. Like the youngsters have no type of manual or anything. It's just whatever, you know what I mean? And then you add the internet and all this clout and shit to it, it's even 10 times worse.
See,
you know,
that's what I thought it wasn't about, though. I thought it was gang was really made up of family, you know. It was really about protection, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. Ain't none of that Ain't no more rules. People don't even know what they're doing now. They don't know why they even gang banging. They just gang banging. They don't even know why who the hood is. They dissing like they did 60s. A lot of them probably don't even know the real history. It's just people just they just doing whatever now. Like renegades out there gang banging. So it's just out of control. And I think it's so disconnected with some of the OGs and the younger homies that it needs to be more accountability, which we're going to talk about later. But I don't think any of that is going on either. And a lot of the OGs probably just don't even want to, you know, kind of out the way. But it's just crazy out there. Havoc, would you agree?
Say that again?
Yeah,
I agree. I agree with you. Yeah, it's crazy out there. And, you know, it's to the point that the little homies ain't listening to the big homies no more.
Right.
No, they just trying to make a name for themselves.
I
done went to a couple of functions, and I done seen right now the little homies is turning on the big homies like, yo, y'all old, y'all know what the fuck y'all talking about. We got this, and they just doing reckless shit.
Yep.
It's reckless right now.
Yeah, they taking them out to make a name for themselves.
Yep. They turning up, man. It's going down in these streets. You know what I mean? And like I say, Facebook and Instagram Live and all that don't make it no better. Because now they broadcasting
right.
it. You know, they on there giving up their location. Like, I'm bad, you know. And look what happened.
Yeah.
This is sad, man.
What can people do to, I don't know, I ain't not calm it down, but like, you know, I be thinking, because I have loved ones involved. This is my question, because it's not something that I just want to talk about. That's just like, just want to talk, but I have loved ones involved in things like this, where it's going to come to a point of war. And, you know, what can one do or what can be done to help make the situation soft or whatever, or rectify? You know, I know Nipsey was trying to do his thing, and then look what happened. You know what I'm saying? And then others that probably did the same, and then it happened just the same. And, you know, people who are not involved, because I'm not involved in it, but I have loved ones who are heavily in it, want to know what can we do to, you know, try to lighten the load a little bit and just, you know, talk some sense to it to ease it, because it's going to come to a point where blood is going to be shed all across, you know what I'm saying? And I'm starting to really see that, you know, personally for me, because like I told you, my uncle and my brother is heavily in this shit, you know what I'm saying? It got to points where I just had conversations, not even just weeks ago, like niggas was ready to goddamn open up a World War III on each other.
Well, I mean, the problem with it is, you know, and it was back there in my time too. That's why we started doing songs like Bring It On. You know, we were supporting the troops, you know, back in 94. But the thing, and the gangbang, I mean, the Bloods and Crips, they was all meeting up, and it was all good at one point. But the thing is, I think that deep down inside, how can you stand next to the one dude that you know kill somebody that you're close to? It's
right.
hard.
Right.
You know what I mean? It becomes hard, you know, and I'm like you. I sit back daily and I say, man, what's the answer to this? Because, you know, this drive-by that, or this gunshot or this gun shooting may result in somebody close to me getting shot and dying, and they not even a part of the situation. They just an innocent bystander. Because a lot of these people that are dying are innocent. You know what I mean? So it's a question. I feel like you got a valid question, and I feel like it's a question that a lot of us need to get together and put our heads together on that to figure that one out. Because that's a question I had years and years and years ago. You know? It's hard, because imagine somebody shot your brother, and then you find yourself in the same park with him, and they talking about, we got to be cool because we killing each other. How you deal with that?
when you know this dude that killed your brother.
Right.
You know, kind of hard.
Right, right. Well, thank you, Carl. I hope we answered it the best we could. You know, there's really no simple answer to that. You know, that's kind of ongoing.
Right.
It's been ongoing. Like he said, he had the question. So that's just something everybody has to work on together. You know what I mean? And that's really all we can do. But like I said, when you're dealing with youngsters, it's a whole different mind state, obviously. They have a different mind state than we do. So it's just a work in progress for everybody to keep working on it and coming together. And that's really all that we could do. But thank you, Carla.
Yeah, appreciate y'all. Much love to y'all.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, much love as well. Let me take another caller. Caller, hello, you're live on the air.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I just got a quick take on that as well. A lot of times it comes down to self-love. These young cats, they really don't have no role models, but the ones they have, they are so sucked up into their lifestyle in the hood and want to front, and they basically wannabes, and they will do anything, not just for the clout, but just for the prestige and the notoriety, and they don't really understand the danger that they're bringing on their mothers and uncles and kids. For example, okay, Indian young boy got killed, right? And he wasn't even a target. What are we going to say a week from now when they finally catch up to Capone and something happens to him? What are we going to say then? So it's like, it's almost like perpetual motion. These young guys, they don't really love themselves because they realize that what you do is putting your mama in danger. How many gang members that have gotten their mama house shot up and they wasn't even there?
They went
up with a girl somewhere after they did dirt, but everybody know you live, and then your house gets shot up and you wasn't even there. So they're not looking at the big picture. But saying all of that, man, to say this, Havoc, I want to give you big ups because
thanks.
Out of all the rap groups that I kind of look up to is you guys, because I'm from South Central, and when you guys came, it gave me hope. Feel me? And me and Prod is like friends, you know, forever, and Marshall, the Shy Lights, I've interviewed him on my show as well, and it's like y'all gave me the hope that shit, if South Central Cartel can make it, we can make it. We damn near right down the street. You know, man, I'm from 39th and Western. So if I can make it, and I saw y'all make it, you know, man, it gave me hope. So I don't believe in giving people flowers while they're still here. Fuck that. I give gift cards. You feel me? That's something that's a little bit more tangible. I want to give you your gift card right now, man, because y'all paved the way for cats like me to jump into the game and to really have something to say and be heard. So big ups, man, to FCC.
Thank you, bro. I
man,
appreciate it.
LV, everybody.
Yeah, we
man.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we all appreciate it.
I appreciate you because, man, you made it fashionable to be from South Central. So, man, it's all love.
Yeah, you know, I mean, with that being said, you know, we, as a SEC, we try to lead by example, man. That's why I mentioned earlier that no matter where we went, you never seen some shootout or anything happen at our functions, you know what I mean? Because all we was repping was peace. You know, I mean, we was in San Diego about to go perform in Tijuana. And we had the black khaki suits on with the hair knotted up, red bandana, blue bandana knotted together around our shoulders, and about 15 bloods. They came into the spot, and we was like, man, it's going to go down. And one of their G's say, hey, man, we appreciate what y'all doing, man. Y'all wearing them rags like that.
we ain't showing nothing but love but that. So everywhere we went, we picked up love for what we was trying
to do.
That's what's up. You know what I mean? And that's what we always try to do. We always try to promote unity among us, no matter what. But in order to, order for us to do that, we had to step in the battlefield and put ourselves in some uncomfortable situation. You know what I mean? So, and we'll still do it today, man. But I know, like the last caller was saying, we got to figure it out, man. You know what I mean? Then again,
right,
it's gonna be some major thinking, man.
It's
gonna be some major thinking.
Chinese arithmetic. It's harder. It's gonna be harder in Chinese arithmetic because it's been so much blood has been shed.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, cause I was a teen, you know, and it's just been so much blood been shed. It can calm down and have its peaks and valleys, you know, where it is peak for a limited time only. But then another incident by a knucklehead or these skinny jean cats, and it's going to flare right back up. Man, it's like a fire that will never be extinguished. And it
That go back to the accountability thing I want to talk about. We're going to talk about it later, but I go again to say it need to be some type of accountability. Like you said, it could be peace, and sometimes that's what happens. But like you said, a little knucklehead from his neighborhood may go get into it or shoot up somebody, and then his homeboys don't even know what he just did. You feel me? And then he come back and somebody else gets shot just on the strength of that. And that was a whole other war on some shit somebody did, nobody even authorized or knew about. You know, bullshit like that. But there's no accountability for it.
Right.
Not at all, man, because these skinny jean cats, they all got guns, and they don't respect themselves or each other, so they're not going to respect you, your mama, your auntie. They're just not going to do it. If you look at them wrong, they're going to draw down on you. You feel me?
Right.
It's like, wow.
Yep.
The scariest situation is going to a gas station or walking into a liquor store, you know, to get you some chips for your girl. She in the car, and then here comes 14 gang members asking you where you from. I mean, that ain't no way to live. And everybody has been in that situation where they'll ask you where you from, and you better come with the correct answer within a matter of seconds. Feel me?
Right.
Man, it's messed up. But it all comes down to L.A. because we started gang banging, and now gang banging is nationwide at an all-time high. So I don't know how it's going to end, how it's going to curtail. I'm just glad that we ain't in Chicago because you think L.A. is bad.
That shit is serious.
Oh, my
God. You don't even want to go to Chicago.
Level out there.
Chicago wearing your hat. Yeah.
The certain way.
Chicago.
You can't wear it to the left. Can't wear it to the left. I know that from doing this show. Man, in Chicago at the Circle Star Theater where a dude told me, man, turn your head, man, to the right. And I thought that's just how they did it. I did. I got on stage, and dude was like, turn your head this way. Turn your head this way. And man, I just took my head off and threw it in the crowd. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on here.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Because that's what happened. We were in Chicago, and I had my hat tilted to the side, and he say, hey, blood, young blood, he said, you know that means something out here?
Yep, right or left.
He said, man, that means something out here, man. You need to fix that.
Yeah.
I said, whoa, shit. Really?
I caught the same lesson. I caught the same lesson in 1992 in Chicago at the Circle Star Theater, man. I know exactly what you're talking about, player.
Yep.
Man, big love, man, to y'all, man. Tell Havoc, Sweet Cadillac, say, man, what's up, too.
I sure will, bro.
Tell, man, I didn't mean Havoc, tell Prod.
I will.
Man, nice talking to you. We never met. But I know you are, man, but tell Prod, man, I say what's up.
I sure will, bro. I'll let him know. I'll let him know.
Tweet Cadillac, baby.
Yes,
y'all. Yeah. Hey, man, much love. What I'm going to do right now is take a quick break, man, and go give me some more ice and things, and I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about the latter of the group, what happened and what's going on, you know, in the present time, more with everything going on right now. Get caught up. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. We got Havoc, man, the Rhyme son, Big Havoc, one part of South Central Cartel on the G Lou Show Westside Wednesdays with Queen Jean and G Lou. We'll be right, Bizak. Yay, yay.
Thank you.
Westside Wednesdays, the G-Loop Show. We back with Big Havoc. Deron Tun.
Yes, sir.
Queen Jean is with me. We are here. Thanks all the callers as well, everybody, with the input. We appreciate it. I want to ask you, I don't know, what kind of happened towards the end, like as far as the breaking up of the group, the whole splits and kind of everything, everybody going their separate ways, what happened, and will we ever get any type of reunion or the whole group coming back together to do any music in the future?
Well, what kind of happened with us is that it got to a point to where everybody just had different opinions about the direction of the group. And we couldn't as a unit come together no more and make good decisions based on each other's, you know, future. You know, because when you're
right.
in a group, each of you got to either have the same, be on the same page, or you got to care enough about each other to say, hey, we can do this. When we get to this level, I want to do this.
Right, right.
And that's just something that we couldn't do because once we signed the Def Jam deal, it just seemed like it was more of a everybody for themselves type thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was overall it was a sad thing. But I'm just blessed that I can say that we're still friends today. The majority of us, you know what I mean, outside of
right.
DJ Griff who passed away. You know, pride
right.
of my cousin. I stop by every so often and check him out. But, you know, we talk via text or over the phone more than we see each other now. But we used to see each other damn near every day. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So everybody
right.
just basically went in their own direction, man. It was just certain things that they wasn't comfortable with, they didn't like. And, you know, when it comes to a person's livelihood, they're going to choose what's best for them. So basically
right.
everybody just chose at this point in time what's best for them. Now, a reunion, we talked about it. We recently mm-hmm. linked up months ago, maybe like 2 months ago, was the first time that I really saw everybody in the same vicinity, you know, the same area, because we were shooting parts of the documentary that we working on.
Right.
And so I got to see DJ KI. Give me some. I got to see DJ KI. I got to see Pride. I got to see LV. I got to see Young Pride. You know what I mean? Mouthpiece
right, right.
wasn't there, and of course DJ Griff is deceased. So, but it was a good feeling. We stood in a circle, man, at the end, and we started reminiscing, and you know, really, really, really telling each other how we felt, man, at that point in time. And you know, but what I liked about that situation was that at the end of everything, after each person spoke their piece, we all concluded that, you know, we all said I love you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I
right,
think
right.
if we got anything up out of that, that's what I appreciated more than anything. That's what I wanted to hear. The fact that we can
right.
still sit around after all we've been through and still say, we love you. We love each other. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
so
me and Pride, Pride working on some things. I just, you know, did the Liquid Nitrogen album. We got the Young
right.
Pride. You got the LV and Prodigy thing that's coming out. I won't never, you know, go out and say never because the Most High works in mysterious ways. But I'll say right now, we're not in talks with doing a reunion album or something like that. You know what I mean? So.
Well, how about touring? Like, because, you know, they're doing a lot of them tours now. They're linking back up the old West Coast and all that. So if they're talking about doing some tours and got some bags, how about that?
You know what, G. Lou? I think that. I think that we're all linking up and making that cheese, you know what I mean? So we've done it before, and I think that we'll do it again. You know, I just don't know that what direction we all, where our mindset is as far as coming together and doing an album, another SEC album, you know what I mean? But as far as doing a tour, getting on a tour, performing, going overseas. We love each other enough to do that. You know what I mean? It's not like we can't be in the same room with each other. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just that we have a different vision right now for our life. You know what I mean? So, like me, I'm in school. I just dropped that album. Pride is, like, Pride next month, he'll be in New York producing. You know, we all doing different things right now. So, but like I said, I'll never say never, man. I'll never say never because some things happen that you never thought would happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
We're going to see. That's just saying like that. We going to see.
Well, that's all we need is a little bit of hope and faith, man. And you know, the rest, you know, you never know what can happen. So that's a beautiful thing.
That's right.
One more thing I want to ask you. One more thing I want to ask you. Then I want you to give all your handles and information out as well. But is there anything in your whole career, be it with the group, solo, or anything just throughout your career in music, that you would go back on and do different, like you regret? Or in the second part, what is the most thing or the most important thing you would say you took away from your journey, even though as you still may be going, but the best thing, the best and the worst, or the thing you could do over or regret opposed to the best thing you learned from during your journey?
The one thing that, the one thing that I would do, that if I could go back in time and I can do over again, is I would rethink the Lover G situation, you know, because Lover G was a person that he wasn't, you know, in my mind, he didn't fit our persona, but that's what I feel made us who we were, because everybody within our group was different, you know what I mean? And he was just a different element of that, and we had got to a point, certain things that happened to where we was like, you need to go. You know what I mean? So I would rethink that, because I think that him coming with the name and, you know, blessing us with the name, he deserved to really share in what we did over the years. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, like over time, the one thing I took from this journey is the fact that love will overshadow any wrong, any fault, any bad, you know, because at the end of the day, if you can come together and say, I still love you, then that journey was worth it. You know what I mean? So it was meant for you to go on that. The Most High put you on that journey, maybe to learn that one simple thing, because that's what he preaches, love. You know what I mean? Love will shine through any darkness. You know what I mean? So that's what I think. I think we love each other. We genuinely love each other. We just had differences along the way. And we didn't have the mindset or the mental capacity to sit back and figure it out, you know, figure out and talk through our problems. Instead, we reacted to our problems. And that just caused a whole lot of, you know, chaos. So, you know, that's what I took away from it, that love outshines all. You know what I mean? So
love
conquers
all.
I was on this journey with, I'm happy I was on this journey with my boys, you know, and I wouldn't trade this journey for nothing. But if I had to go back and change one thing, it would be I would want Lover G to be a part of that journey. And that's it.
Okay. There it is. Just have it, the rhyme sign. Also have it. Why don't you go ahead and give out all your information, tell them about the new album, where they can get it, because they can only get it exclusively from you, and tell them everything else you got going on, your handles, whatever else you need them to know.
You can get, well, Liquid Nitrogen is out, and it's right now it's exclusive. You can only get it from me. You can hit me on Instagram and Facebook, both are the same, Big Havoc, and you can DM me. And I'll get it out to you ASAP. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, let them know how to spell. Let them know how to spell Big Havoc, so they don't get the wrong one.
Spell it BIGHAZIKK. If you spelling it with the O and the C, you hitting the wrong OG. Just hit that I. Look for the IKK. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I say that. And then, you know, once you link up with me, I'll get it out to you. Don't forget G Luke and Queen. Send me your stuff so I can get it out to you. It's on me. It's going to be out on all streaming service August 13th. You'll be able to hear it. I got my boy and them, they coming out in August, and we're going to be shooting several videos for it. So when I, so as it's making its, hitting its, you know, starting to pierce its head on the streaming services, we'll be getting ready to drop videos. So, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, other than that, man, you know, I want to give shout-outs to my boys, the SEC, Prodigy, LV, Chaos, Rest in Peace Grip, Young T, Lover G, you know, all of them. And I want to say thank you guys. Thanks to G-Lou and the G-Lou Show podcast. Thanks to the queen sitting over there doing her research and all that stuff. Appreciate that. And, you know, just want to say, you know what I'm saying, it was a pleasure, man. I'm honored that you opened up the airwaves on your show to let me be a part of it. Thanks to all the callers that called in and talked on a sensitive subject or topic, you know. And, you know, I, anytime you need me, anytime you want to hear from me, just reach out to me. You got my hookup, and I got your guys back, man. It's all love.
For sure. For sure. Thank you, homie. Big Havoc. Thank you, sir.
No problem. All day.
Blessings to your prosperity as well and your family.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But don't y'all forget, please make sure I get y'all hooked up because I want to get it out there to you because I want to get your thoughts. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Really appreciate
yeah, Queen's
okay.
Gonna send it. Queen's just send it to you. Queen will send it to you right after the show, man.
All right. No problem. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you guys and have a blessed day. You know what I'm saying? And put him first. And do your thing, man, and you got my support all the way to the bank.
Thank you so much.
My man. Thank you, sir.
Peace
and love.
No problem.
Peace out.
All right, y'all take it easy. Bye-bye.
Okay, peace. The G-Lou Show, Westside Wednesdays, Queen Jean, G-Lou. We just wrapped it up. Big Havoc, the Rhyme Son from South Central Cartel. Classic episode. Got a lot of information. Talked about a lot. Callers called in and gave us some great feedback, which opened up a whole nother conversation and dialogue. So we appreciate that. And it was just overall a great conversation. So thank you for everybody who had a hand in it. Shout out to our sponsors, BTP Media Group, D.D. Harrison, Conversations in the Hookah Lounge, at GLUShow.com. Tweet Cadillac After Six Cruise Mix. Tomorrow night, I will be co-hosting with the big homie on Blog Talk Radio. Tweet Cadillac. Classic Six Pack is available now. Online, tweetcadillac.com. Oldies Rule Forever, G Lou, available now online. Get at me. New G Lou shirts are available as well. Get at us. Hit me on the DM, the G Lou Show, IG or whatever, or just holler at me, however you do it. And don't forget, 2 weeks, July 31st. Tell them, Queen.
We're all booked up. We don't have any more room for anyone to RSVP. So if you didn't get to RSVP, we're sorry that you didn't get to make it, but we will be filming, doing videos, so you'll be able to see, and hopefully you'll be able to make it the next time. But it will be going down July the 31st. It's our first year anniversary for Conversations in the Hookah Lounge with myself and my sister, D.D. Harrison, and also we'll be celebrating CeeLo's birthday and mine as well, and that is going down to July 31st in California, in Compton, California. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with the G-Lou squad and all of the people who have RSVP. So,
yeah, yay. So it's going down, man. If you can't be there, you just hear about it, man. You know what I mean? But we'll have plenty of footage. And everything is going to be a beautiful thing, man. So, you know, thanks for everybody involved. Shout out to D.D. Harrison, man, as well, for making everything happen.
Yeah.
And also, check us out in the after hours. We're going to be in the after hours tonight, and we're going to be kind of continuing this conversation. We're going to talk about accountability. We're going to talk about all this kind of shit we were talking about when the caller called in, because I want to talk about some accountability and what we could do to change the narrative on that and not all this clout chasing and everything. It's definitely not going to be glorifying or broadcasting the dude's death. I don't even really want to talk about that. I want to talk about solutions and things of that nature. So hang out with us in the after hours if you're available on YouTube. We'll be there at the G-Lou Show in about 30, 40 minutes. So I want to leave you with that, and that's it. Go ahead, Queen.
I wanted to say it's because she already put it out the ground, Miss Reed, who's one of our followers in our after hours show, the young man was actually her cousin's son. So, yeah, let's try not to put too much energy into that and, you know, try to be a little bit more sensitive about it. I don't know if you've seen her post on it, but it was also her cousin.
You said what now? I couldn't hear you. What happened?
Miss Reed. Miss Reed, who's one of our followers on the After Hours show. Indian Red was her cousin's son.
Oh, okay.
So it's her cousin. Yeah, she put it out on Instagram a couple of days ago. She said she did not know him, but she had just found out that that's her cousin's son. So, and her cousin is also deceased, his mother. So, yeah, it was
I did hear his mother was deceased, too. I did hear that as well. I heard about that. Yeah. Rest in peace, man, to the young brother, man. Rest in peace, young brother, man. And like I said, we're going to talk about it later, but, you know, that's a whole other thing. But just rest in peace to the brother's sad situation. And all we can do is just do our part. Just do your part. That's all you can really do. Do your part and be an example to others to follow. And that's the best thing you can do.
The caller was can come to the After Hours, and all the questions that she had, which I think I knew who it was, the questions that she had, she can ask those questions in the chat, because the followers, a lot of them, they come from 60s and they come from, you know, that lifestyle, and they can give her some pretty good answers to her questions that she was having during our show. So if you're still listening, just log into our YouTube channel After Hours and, you know, shoot your questions away, because that's what the show is going to be about, accountability and responsibility.
Yep. And there it is. People, good people out there, we love y'all. Much love. We'll be back Friday at it once again. Tomorrow night we'll be with Tweed Cadillac, 93.3 Tweed FM Ism, with a special guest, Ozone. Man, that's going to be incredible. So please tune into that tomorrow night and get you some history as well. And love y'all, man. We'll wrap it up in a minute.
Just wanted to send some words of encouragement. Y'all stay focused. Y'all keep working hard. Believe in yourself. Prove everybody that doubts y'all wrong. Show up every day. Stay pure. Keep your heart pure. Stay motivated. Stay inspired. Show love to your people. From Nip Hustle Love.
Another Mike D exclusive. By the way, you was looking good the other day. I got my gun, so I ain't slipping. Anything move wrong, gon' get dented. Man, this bitch just sent me an address to the Jordan. I'm like, damn, this fine ass bitch stay in the project. Fuck it, I'm still about to pull up. I got niggas over there, you know what I'm saying?
Woke up in my Tommy Hilfiger boxes at 10 from a knock at the dock. But why they got my dope for? Oh, my peeps, they got a half gallon. Smiling, my talents total 10. One empty round from putting it down. But now, my day is starting off Coca-Cola and Remy Martin. Some of the homies from L.A. and C. Austin wanna throw a private party today. Doing some Cartier in my Rolex Link. Dressed to kill like Bernard Getz. My squad flex like Lee Haney. So it's best I keep myself on house arrest. Cause never know, maybe they might wind up in 429 Boucher locked away. Can't keep the booty calls waiting. I marinate.
We can marinate. Get nice and stack riches.
But it's BYOB.
When you on Bud Ruin, bitch. Ain't no sense flipping, acting ill, and don't you see it. For
got up to Mike, said to see what's cracking tonight. She said she just broke up with a man. And since she free like Mandela, she bringing the box of Philly Pantellas. Acapella, I got game like Lupinella. Make sure to tell her, don't bring no fella, Shirella. Girl, you can break the tweed, and then you can show me how to do the pepper seed.
Agreed,
cause we get down like this on the record. Lounging, watching bootleg tapes, shooting jokes. Your choice of imported smokes. Craps and CeeLo on the patio for more chips than bingo. Chips like the MGM casino. Just make sure your homegirls are single, so it's poppin'. Cause ain't nothing worse than fifth wheel that's cock blockin'. And knocking while I'm knocking, talking about she ready to go. I want some of your brown sugar while I bump the ante. No special holiday, but sometimes just being alive is a reason for celebrating. So we marinate.
We can marinate, get nice and stack riches.
But it's BYOB.
When young blood brewing, bitches. Ain't no sense of an acting ill and don't see it.
That's Razz Cat, that's going out to Cola Loco. Cola Loco. Hey, shout out to Carson, California. The G-Lu Show Westside Wednesdays, once again, thanks to our special guest, Big Havoc from South Central Cartel, the Rhyme Son. I'm G-Lu. That's Queen Jean. See y'all later. Queen Jean, take us out of here.
Well, yeah, peace and love to everybody. Live your truth. Stay solid. Have a great evening. And don't forget to tune into the G-Lu Show after hours on the G-Lu Show YouTube page, and also tune in on Saturday for Conversations in the Hookah Lounge. It's just going to be me and Dee Dee. We're going to be chilling, and you can check in and vibe with us. So with that being said, peace and love, and see you guys on Friday.
Peace, y'all.
One more trains in the Metro Rail, but y'all gotta be out by 2. I'm getting sleepy, and plus my boo is coming through. So let the front door hit you where RuPaul probably might. And everybody asking what's up for tomorrow night.
We can marinate, get nice and stack riches.
But it's BYOB,
we young but growing bitches. Ain't no sense of an acting ill and don't see it. For real, for real. We can marinate, get nice and stack riches.
But it's BYOB.